Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Better than being stuck on the side of the road. Amen. I want to maybe expound a little bit on what Brother Virgil had mentioned at the beginning here of service tonight. Jared and Elizabeth had come to me the other day and had asked me about having a youth service back in the old fellowship hall for the youth. And I told them that, you know, that sounds great to me. Told me a little bit about what they was wanting to do. And the kids really enjoyed it. They had a good youth service back there. And one of the things that the youth would like to do is they said they would like to have more than just one service a month. So that's why they're not with us in this service tonight, is they're back there. We're going to do two services a month right now, and hopefully it'll grow. And I told them, I said, it's like this. There was a really, really smart man that decided that he would put a $100,000 playground into a little restaurant that sold 99-cent hamburgers. You know it, by the Golden Arches, by McDonald's. Every little kid that drove through town, regardless of what their stomach felt like, it was, "Mom, I'm hungry." They sold every car that pulled in. They sold Mom a hamburger, fries, and a Coke. They usually sold a Happy Meal and a Coke and maybe another meal or two. The reason it worked, that McDonald's was successful, is because they appealed to the children. When these children, they start being active in the church, active in their own services, what you'll find out is that the young people that are active in service and they've taken a part of it, taken ownership of it, they'll then tell their friends, "Hey, won't you come to church with me?" And when they tell Mom and Dad, "I want to go to church," guess what Mom and Dad will do? Mom and Dad will bring them. You may say, "Well, that's sneaky." I don't care if it is. I want to get them in the house of God. And if I can, I'll do it. We're here to win lost souls. So if you're wondering what's going on, that's what's happening. So let's sit back and watch and see what God can do. I'll get back into my message here in just a minute, but a lot of people, they cannot see themselves living for God. They can't see themselves as going to church. They can't see themselves being a Christian, living this lifestyle. They just, that's not the way they grew up. It's not the way that they, the thing about it is there's times that I wonder, is anybody else ever wonder, you want to do good, you want to do right, but you really don't know which way to go? I mean, what decision to make? I mean, there's times that sure, I pray about it, and I seek God, but there's times that there's decisions that I need to make, and I really don't know what to do. It's not like that God always comes down and writes on a tablet with a golden ink pen and tells me, this is the direction you need to take. And I think if you was being honest with me, you probably would find yourself in the same situation and admit that you've been there also. I'm going to be in the book of Judges, chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 33, but I'll just tell you right up front tonight, I'm probably not going to get through with this message. And if I find a good jumping off place, I'll probably just jump off. But there's just too much here. The book of Judges was, they was, it's about Israel. Israel would go into a sinful state. They would turn to false idols. The book of Judges is about deliverance. They would cry. They'd find themselves, and they would cry out, "Lord, help me!" And then God would send a deliverer to them. And then they would get back on the right track. And then it was just repeat over and over and over again. By the time we get to the end of the book, every man was doing what was right in his own eyes, and not necessarily right what was right in God's eyes. They was doing what they wanted and not really doing what God wanted them to do. But in the middle of this book, we find Gideon. There is only one definition. You know, every name in the Bible has a definition. You have the Hebrew, and also you have the Aramaic. And usually there'll be two, three, sometimes four definitions to a name, depending on what language that you're speaking that name in. And sometimes even in the Hebrew, it may have two or three different meanings. But the name Gideon only has one meaning for his name. It is a tree feller, or a tree faller, if you're from Oklahoma. His name is meant to cut down. He was a hewer to cut down. And his name was fitting. It was to cut down the false idols and the false religions that his father had planted the groves. And he went in and cut them down. And by the way, some people feel like that because they was raised a certain way, God cannot make them anything any different. You've raised up with a certain sin, and you've got maybe you feel like that you've got generational curses on your life, and you know your father was that way, and your mother was that way, and your brothers and sisters are that way, and you think that that's just the way you're going to be. You just take it for granted. God can change the situation. He can make you something special. Gideon is surrounded by the Midianites. He's in hiding. And you'll find out in verse number 12 that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." The only problem with that is, Brother Robert, Gideon felt like a coward. He didn't feel like a mighty man of valor. He was hiding at the wine press, thrashing wheat. He was in hiding from the Midianites. He was scared. He didn't know what to do. God does not see you for who you are. He sees you for what He wants you to be after He's done with you. I was just a rebel. I had a teacher, I never will forget her. Her name was Miss Grisham. She got married, and that was her maiden name. I had her for 1 year for school up there at Chelsea. She was a Sunday school teacher down here at the UPC church right off the highway. She got married, Sister Donna back there probably knows who I'm talking about. I think her married name was Miss Watts. I don't know. I always called her Miss Grisham just to make her mad. I had her the second year. She changed her name. But I'd always call her by her maiden name. She held me back one day from class and she said, "I need to talk to you." She said, "Isn't your dad a preacher?" Whew. "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You're nothing but a wolf in sheep's clothing. You are the devil himself." I mean, she lit into me and let me have it. There are people that will look at you and count you out and say you will never amount to anything. Miss Roberts, I heard her tell Sister Paula the other day, or Sister Paula told me what she said. She said, "I had two of them boys, and one of them, he made a chief of police, and the other one made a preacher, and I thought either one of them amount to anything." It's not what you start out to be, but it's what you become after God gets finished with you. I can look at the alcoholic or the drug addict, and there goes me, except by the grace of God. The angel tells him, "I will raise you up as a deliverer." But the enemy, he wants you to feel like there will never be a change. Let's begin reading here at verse number 33. "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." Let me go over that one more time. "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and sent messenger unto Asher and to Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, 'If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said.'" Listen to me. Gideon is still feeling like a coward. But God, if you'll save Israel by my hand, Gideon's still not feeling like this mighty man of valor that the angel told him that he was. He said, "Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou shalt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said." And he said it was so. And he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed out the dew out of the fleece a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not mine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. And let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. How many have ever heard the phrase, or possibly even used the phrase, that they put out a fleece? I know I've heard some people say that I put out a fleece before the Lord. But, and I've heard some people say that he didn't have any faith. I don't believe that. Gideon never doubted God. Gideon doubted himself. He had doubted his ability. But I got to thinking about this. What is a fleece? I'm not talking about the action. I think we all know what that is. I've heard some people say that it is a garment. I don't believe that is correct. I don't believe it's a garment. I believe it's something that is made of wool, more like probably about the size of a throw. But I hear people talking about that I made a fleece before God. And we think that sometimes our fleeces get plumb silly. I've told the story about the man that was on a diet. And he'd been on a diet for a couple of weeks, and he was on his way to work. And he said, Lord, he went by the bakery, and he said, Lord, if it be thy will, he said, let there be a parking spot right in front of the donut shop whenever I drive by. He said, praise the Lord, on the 13th trip around the block, there was a parking spot right there. It's like the young preacher that was wanting to preach in a church, and he finally got a call, and they told him, said, won't you come and preach at our service? And he said, well, I don't ever go preach anywhere unless I pray about it first. He said, hang on just a second. Honey, will you pack my suitcase while I pray? Sometimes we put out our fleece, and we want blessings on our will and not God's will. Sometimes fleeces can be just that silly. But I got interested in what a fleece actually was. It was from my studies, I found it was more like a throw that the women put over their laps. It was made of wool. And then I got interested in what was a Gideon doing in the middle of the desert with a fleece. It wasn't to keep him warm. But it had a practical purpose to it. The fleece, he used something that they used every day. They would take that fleece, Brother Virgil, and they would lay it out. And at the nighttime, whenever it dewed, they would gather up the fleece. They didn't have rain barrels and wells and tap water like what we do today. And they would wring out the fleece into a bowl of water, into a bowl like what we find in the scripture that he just wrung out and got a full bowl of water. He took something that was practical, something that they used every day, and said, God, if it be possible, let this fleece soak up the water and let it be dry all around it. He got up that day, wrung out a bowl of water out of that fleece. The mariners would also use it when they was on the sea. They would hang it over the rail, and you can't drink salt water. They would hang it over the rail, and if a storm was coming up or at night, whenever the dew would come, they'd wring that water out. They'd give them fresh drinking water while they was at sea. But Gideon, he said, but God, if this really be you, I'm going to put the fleece back out another night. And I want the fleece to be dry And it to be wet all around it on the ground. Listen to me. God never gets tired of you asking. Ask and ask and ask again. He's your heavenly Father. Don't give up. If you don't get the answer that you need, pray again. Ask Him again. Keep talking to Him. Gideon took something that only God could do. Don't make your will God's will. Lord, if I have to drive 13 times around the parking lot for there to be an empty space, it's probably not God's will. Something that only God could do. Then I also see the prophetic side of this in Scripture. It is possible for the fleece to be wet and everything else to be dry. It is possible for the fleece to be dry and everything around it to be wet. Prophetically, this is a picture of Israel. Israel, the good shepherd, his sheep. Israel was and still are God's chosen people. They was blessed. God had protected them. God had shielded them. They was in the middle of a heathen nations all around them. And God was watching out for Israel. Jesus said in the New Testament, I came to my own and my own, they turned Him away. It's also possible for the fleece to be dry and everything around it to be wet. When that veil was rent in the temple and He opened it up for whosoever will to let Him come, that allowed the Gentile people to come in. There's a reason why the Jews cannot see the Messiah as we can see Him. There's a reason why, because the fleece now is dry. Prophetically speaking, this is prophesying of Jesus' coming and Him opening it up to the Gentile nations for sin and uncleanliness to come to the fountain and to be saved. This is opening it up for you and me. But it is also, prophetically speaking, also in the church setting. It's possible, Brother Isaac, for you to be wet and everybody around you be dry. And it's possible to sit in a church service and you be dry and everybody else wet. Lord, I don't understand it. Everybody else is getting a blessing. Everybody else is feeling the Spirit. And I'm sitting here as dry as last year's firewood. What's going on? Well, I'll just put out a fleece and you know, if it be God's will, I'll just put out a fleece and, you know, you go ahead and marry that person and see how that works out for you. Well, I'll put out a fleece and I'll go, you know, I'll sell my house and I'll move to a new neighborhood. You better be careful. You see, there are some prerequisites. You'll read it in verse 34. He said, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. That's the difference. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. What he had to do, he could not do without and through the Spirit of God. Now, I know when we're saved through the Spirit. No man cometh to the Father except the Spirit draw him. When we get saved, we have an infilling of the Holy Spirit that comes in us. He's our teacher. He's our guide. He gives us direction. But there is a infilling deeper than just a salvation experience. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6, if you will. I want to read this to you. We're talking about Saul here. The prophet has come down and prophesies to Paul, or to Saul, and he says, they're going to come down out of the mountain with all these instruments, and when they come down, you're going to know that you're in the right place. And he says here in verse number 6, he said, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. You're not going to be the same man. You're going to be turned into another man. You know, there's a lot of people that don't like how they look. They don't like what they are. And you know, I see this especially in our young people. See, these young girls. If their hair is straight, they want it to be curly. If it's curly, they want it to be straight. If they're skinny, they wish they had some curves. If they're a little on the heavier side, they wish they was skin and bones. I mean, if they have open-toed shoes, they're one closed-toed shoes. People are never happy with the way they look, their appearance. If they're bald-headed, they wish they had hair. If they had hair, they wish they didn't have hair. You know, it's just, it's a never-ending cycle. People don't really like what they are. But I'm here to tell you that He can turn you into a different person. He can change who you are. He can turn drunks into sobriety. He can turn liars and make them truthful. He can take thieves and make them honest. You don't like who you are. I'm telling you about a man that can change you and make you a different man. Well, is that Bible? And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. You know, I read in the Bible where the Spirit of the Lord came upon a young man, and he killed a giant while an army runs in fear. I read about where the Spirit of the Lord came upon. You know, David is an amazing character in the Bible. You get to reading about him, And he the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he tore apart a lion with his bare hands. I read where the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, Brother Virgil, and he tore a bear apart. I don't know if he killed a bear. I don't know if he tore it apart with his bare hands or if he gave it in his chokehold and choked it to death. I don't know, but he done it with his bare hands. I read where a man, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He took the gate off the hinges of a city, carried it 40-some miles up into the top of a mountain and set it there. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you can do things that you never thought you could do. You will not be the same man. That little Ron Henry-headed kid up here at Chelsea that they said was worthless and would never amount to anything, when the Spirit of the Lord come upon, I made a preacher. You say, I'll never make it in church. I can't live a Christian life. When the Spirit of the Lord changes you, you will. I need His fullness every time I stand to preach. I need the fullness of the Spirit every time I face tomorrow. We're coming up on Easter. And I want to encourage you, if you normally stand up and clap, you lift your hands up and give God praise, you say amen, don't change whenever they show up. I'll tell you this. I said it the other night, and I'm going to tell you again. Some of y'all may not have been here. Brother Rick Carlton, after he was here in service Sunday morning and Sunday night, he sent me a text, and he says, I want to know the secret of the Holy Ghost atmosphere in your services. You understand in what he just said? He's an evangelist. Not every church, the fleece is wet. We have people that are coming from all the way over to from Manford to this church because of the Spirit that is here. I don't want to lose it. I can't do it on my own. But if we're not careful, church, we'll be like Israel and the fleece will be dry and everywhere around us will be wet. You say, I can't do that. You can when God changes you. You know, so sometime back, I got interested. It's been several years ago. I got interested in what actually they teach in seminary school. And I've never been to seminary school. It probably would do me some good, but you know, you can find out a lot on the internet. There's a lot of things that you can, I mean, you want to know how to fix a car, you can YouTube it and somebody will tell you. As long as you give them a like and follow them, they're happy. But I found out in online study and in seminary school, they'll tell you how to prepare a sermon. They'll tell you how to study and how to get a 3-point message, and they'll tell you all of this. They'll tell you even how to preach and how to present yourself. You're supposed to stand behind the podium. You're putting one foot in front of the other one just slightly back. Put, you know, kind of up on your tiptoes, and you can put both hands on either side of the pulpit. And if you get to feeling a little bit excited, well, you lean one way and then you come back to the middle and you get a little bit excited. You lean back to the other direction and back to the middle. But I'll tell you what, when the Spirit gets on me, I'm liable to take a running fit. They can take that seminary stuff. I don't care how they look. I don't care how they act. I want to know what the Spirit is. I want the Spirit to change this man that used to be a rug rat up there at Chelsea High School, and my teachers despised and hated to see me come to class. There's a change that needs to take place. I may act such crazy that y'all might be ashamed of me, but I'll tell you what, I'm feeling good. Just like that fleece. Y'all ever wear one of them old sweatshirts and it start raining? That thing gets so heavy you can't hardly even get it off. I want the Spirit of God in this place so heavy that it just engulfs the house of prayer. The Holy Ghost conviction gets out and it starts dealing with the lost and people that are needing help and needing encouragement. I hope the Holy Ghost power would just come down so hard and heavy that people cannot even stand to sit in their pews. Preacher, you don't know what all I've done. He can take ashes and turn them into beauty. Go ahead and come back to the music. I preached long enough, Brandon. You need something from God that only God can do. You can't get the will of God or the direction of God until you first are obedient to the Spirit of God. Let me run that by you again. You can't get the will of God or the direction of God until you are first obedient to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God if you can remember back when you was first got saved, I don't want to scare you, but your heart will be racing. You'll hear a voice inside of your head that says, just come to me. I love you. I have something special for you. I can make you a new creature. But you'll also hear a voice in your head that will tell you that this doesn't make sense. That there's no logic. Well, if it was if we were saved by intelligence, but we're not. The Bible tells us that it doesn't have to make sense. He says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But God, it don't. Maybe you're at a place where you're needing something. You're needing answers. Come to Him. Ask Him. He can change you into a new man, a new woman. You may say, well, it's just, I am who I am. You are who you are before He gets a hold of you. He can make the difference. Stand with me, if you will. The altar's open. Go ahead and play, Brandon. Would there be any here tonight that would say, I want to be different. Anyone here tonight that don't like how that you are? Gideon was a coward. But God said, I see a mighty man of valor. Saul didn't know what he had until he began to prophesy. And God changed him. God can take somebody that the world has gave up on, take someone that it looks hopeless, and give them hope when the Spirit moves.